I am a sea of love. 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 You are a sea of love. You are a sea of love. We are a sea of love. We are a sea of love.
Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. Before we get started with today's episode, just wanted to share a few announcements for this late summer, fall of 2021. First of all, you may have been hearing me introduce myself as Sama Morningstar for quite some time, and I have recently made the decision to go back to using my birth name of Jessica and my married name of Huckabee. So you'll hear me introducing myself as Jessica from here on out. If you're curious about the reasons why I'm making that transition, you're welcome to reach out to me and I'd be happy to talk with you more about it. The other announcement that I want to make is that this episode that you're, well, that I'm creating a series of episodes for this fall, all about ancestral healing. And this, all of this is leading up to and sort of whetting our appetite for the month-long ancestral healing program that I will be hosting starting October 31st. And this program is part of the Biomystical Womb Apprenticeship Program, but you can join just for the month-long ancestral healing portion. And in this program, I will be holding space for you to discover your connections with your ancestors and find healing connections. So a lot of people are concerned about connecting with their ancestors, especially the more wounded or difficult ancestry. And so it stops them from exploring ancestral healing. And in this program, we will explore ways to be able to access the wisdom and the healing parts of our ancestry and to help us liberate ourselves from the wounding patterns of the unhealthy and difficult aspects of our ancestry. So if this is of interest to you, go to wombcenteredhealing.com and look for the Ancestral Healing Course. And all of these podcast episodes for the next month or so will be discussing various aspects of ancestral healing with the guests on the show. So looking forward to sharing that all with you. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. Hello, and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. We have another episode today focused on ancestral healing, and I'm welcoming Antoinette to our podcast with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Antoinette. I'm so glad that you were able to join us to talk about ancestral healing. Please introduce yourself and share about this topic and your journey with ancestral healing. And I know it's very connected with your journey with womb-centered healing as well. So I'd love for you to share about that.
Yes, I am Goddess Antoinette. I go by Goddess Antoinette. Okay. And I am a womb ancestral priestess. I have been journeying with my womb and the ancestors for, I feel like, almost a decade now, at least 9 years. this medicine opened up for me after the birth of my last child, my middle child. And I had this just yearning desire to heal my sensuality and my sexuality. And it all weaves together in that my ancestors actually gave me my own personal womb divination system. They gave me the download for my divination system. So I began to do the medicine for myself and connect with it for myself. So coming in and doing womb and connecting the womb together with the ancestors, with the knowledge and the knowing that, yes, the womb is the portal for the ancestors. We hold ancestral energy in our ovaries. We hold our maternal line. We hold our paternal line ancestral energies, the womb portal itself, as we birth ancestors and our babies have part of our ancestral soul, and we're part of our ancestral soul and our soul and part new soul. And having that understanding how important the womb is and how it plays, but then also going into that place with, as I evolve with, okay, how am I unraveling ancestral patterns through the power of my womb source and what is in my womb, those hidden little nuanced patterns that are in my womb, that's not my own. That's my ancestral mother's. That's my ancestral mother's on my maternal side and in connection to my paternal lineage. Because I think a lot of times we don't really think about our ancestral mothers that are on our father's side, because we look at the maternal line of the womb and the womb, but we also have that the ancestral mothers who are dad's moms, right? That's part of our blood, right? So there's a whole other ancestral mother line that sometimes we don't think about as we connect with just thinking about our paternal lineage. But yeah, all of my my practice as a devotee to womb goddess consciousness has been kind of like held and anchored through my ancestors and healing my womb and healing just a lot of trauma as like, and we don't really, you know, I'm always so sensitive of like seeing different things because some folks are really triggered. So we know when we say trauma, all the things, right? And so for me, the big thing for me was I just wanted to be able to open up to my husband. I was so frigid. And I'm a naturally sensual woman. I carry the energy of Ushun, goddess Ushun. I am an Omo Ushun priestess in the Yoruba lineage. I am a certified Yoni Steam practitioner and my Ati priestess through the Yoni Steam Institute. And I recently felt for so many years called to Miranda Gray's lineage. And so now I'm a certified moon mother and I love her lineage. I have been journeying with the Worldwide Womb Blessing for quite some time, reading all her materials. And finally, I got into a place of my own feminine life cycle to hold mother in such a way to be able to come fully and hold moon mother. So I'm so blessed for the Feminine Energy Awakening System of Amanda Gray and all the moon mothers around the world and all her great work with Red Moon and all this stuff. And so how just over time, how I've been able just to combine all this energy together is where I'm at now. So I'm able to hold mother, I'm able to hold all the cycles of my womb. I'm able to hold my ancestral energies within me. And I have that place where I'm in that place of power. And in that power, I hold this particular frequency that I call unravel. And that unravel is the undoing of egoic patterns of my ancestors too. So my relationship, how it has evolved over time is that, what is this pattern? Because it's not to condemn it or, you know, I don't condemn the ego and all that stuff. It's okay, what is that? Where is that hiding in my, I've, you know, found things in my pelvic bone. It's just like, whoa, let me grab that string and let me pull that down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where is that at? What is that? And I drop down, I go down, I go into that pelvic bowl, I go into my womb. Where is that? Is it in my ovaries? Is it in my tubes? Where is it? Is it back in my bowl? Where is it? And is that ancestral? Is that the feminine conscious, the wounding, you know, the big wound of the feminine, you know, all the wounding, all the stuff that's not mine. So for me, it's all about what is here that I am holding that's not mine, and I unravel it and bless it up to the mother. Bless it up to the mother. There's no condemnation in it. It just is. Some of it I was born with, because we know that, you know, my grandmother had me in her womb, my mom had my baby in her womb, I got my grandbabies in my womb, so we know how that energy is passed on, epigenetics. so many things that we have that we understand the power of the ancestors and how it connects to our womb. But then it's like, okay, you have understanding, right? When I was a babe, I thought like a babe. And now that you got this understanding, what are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. What is your responsibility to it? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at with, okay, what is my responsibility to this? It's just not enough to know. Mm-hmm. Now it's enough to function in that and unravel all of those ancestral patterns that is presenting in my life. Because I do have the message that came through. I'm going to say it. When you look at unraveling these patterns and are in your feminine system from your mothers, for them, for us, for yourself, for your daughters, and those connected to the maternal lineage, what you do for one womb and one woman, you do for all that's connected to your blood. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when I think about womb ancestral practice and consciousness and devotion and unraveling and blessing and healing, bringing wholeness to all, blessing all, is complete and is whole, and it's just a human experience, so it's all good anyway, and it's bringing you back into truth, into soul, into love anyway, and more heightened consciousness and deeper in the mother of the earth, mother of the moon, the mother of body, mother of all. It's so important to me now in my mature feminine, in my woman, and in my motherhood as queen mother, to think about how does this also affect this? How does it also affect this? So what I've been getting is, oh, when I heal my womb, I'm healing my cousin on my dad's side who I may not even know. Mm-hmm. I don't know her. When I heal my womb, I'm healing my children. Yes, I'm healing my daughter. I know my daughter, but on and on the lineage, but not just that. When I heal my womb, I'm healing ancestral energy for the world. Mm-hmm. We are really one womb. Mm-hmm. We are one womb. Woo, that can really be fun. And so the consciousness to connect to that one womb mindedness is like, how do I hold that in my innocence? Like, ooh, I'm shaking in my boots, but how do I hold that? Well, as easy as I am connected to a global sisterhood, for me to alchemize in such a way to be a moon mother, it meant that I needed to be able to hold an international sisterhood. I mean, I'm on a call and there's like languages I don't understand, and being able to, that's my sister. We speak one language, and that's womb. We speak the frequency of womb, and we speak the frequency of mother. And so it took all of the alchemize to get to that, to be able to open up in such a way to say, right. So I'm thinking now, like the womb of my dad's side, I'm thinking now the womb of whoever back here, because I'm devoted here. And so that's been my truth in my journey to date. Mm-hmm. with the ancestors and how I practice in my own feminine system. And I will say, I'm not really big on ancestor altars. Mm-hmm. I am really big on, I am the altar that alters. That's like my number one mantra in prayer, because I work in my own feminine system, my own consciousness, my own ancestral consciousness, my womb energies, my cycle, nature, me. I am the energy system. I am the field, you know, in my own pelvic bowl. I'm feeling how huge my pelvic bowl is. Mm-hmm. And so with my ancestors, years ago, I used to do a lot of the devotion where I needed all of this. I needed the things. I needed all their pictures up. I needed to do, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm just so in tune with my ancestors. Mm-hmm. I mean, they telling my kids, I'm like, I know you're telling a story. I hear they telling me. They want, you know, it's just like, I'm so deeply in tune as an everyday practice that, you know, I don't even necessarily have to have all those things. But one thing I do that has been really a blessing to my family and teaching my children is whenever we have dinner, we put a plate, we set the place at our own table. Mm. We say our prayer and our ancestors is right there. We all eating just like family, because getting out of that mystical thing with your ancestors, like ancestral spirits. And that's my mama now. Like my mom is in the ancestral room. My grandmother is in the, my Uncle Paul. Like that's my family, right? Mm-hmm. So I love to just bring this back to human. bring ancestral consciousness and ancestral devotion and ancestral healing. You knew them folks, them your folks, right? Mm-hmm. You just make it just part of just like your everyday life. You want to pour some, if they tell you, you know, bake this or do that, or going to get my grandmother loved lemon, get her a piece of lemon pie, sit on the table. It don't have to be all of this like super, super crafting when it comes to your ancestors, you know. So I just like to connect with like my family who is out of body, mm-hmm. just out of body, mm-hmm. you know, and blessing those who we don't know, of course, always, and holding that deep connection to those that we remember mm. who carry on with us. So mm. that's part of my ancestral practice and devotion, and how it relates with my womb and how I bridge it all together mm-hmm. as the ancestral priestess.
Thank you so much, Antoinette, for sharing all of this wisdom and sharing these snapshots of your life, and not just a snapshot, but a living tapestry you're really weaving. I feel like I'm sitting at the dinner table with you and your family and your grandmother and your mother at the table there eating a piece of lemon pie. So thank you for sharing it so vividly. And I can really feel that devotion that you're talking about. There was one thing I really wanted to slow down and ask you to share a little bit more about, just to, you know, enhance the understanding of what you're talking about. So you talked about finding, discovering patterns, perhaps ancestral patterns that you recognize or understand don't necessarily belong to you. Mm-hmm. And you talked about finding them in your body, finding them in your ovary, finding them in your hip bone, finding them in your pelvic bowl. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to describe what that feels like. What happens when you find an ancestral pattern in your body? Is it a body sensation? Do you have practices? What does your practice look like to actually feel for those patterns, look for those patterns in your body? What are the steps that you take to get into, and maybe it's so intrinsic for you right now, you might have to
reflect. I'm like, how do I even, I don't even know if I ever.
Did you always do this, or was it something that you learned? And maybe you can back it up for somebody who doesn't have the sensitivity and the intrinsic initiation. What did that look like when you were first learning how to feel for where your ancestors were, your ancestral patterns were residing in your body? Can you just slow that down a little bit? Because it helps for folks who are just beginning to say, oh, maybe that's what that feeling is, right? And to even start to recognize it.
I have to go like so far back if it mm-hmm. was, because it's been almost a decade of, I am a journeyer. Mm-hmm. I just journey. I love to journey. And so for me, it began with I would say like a meditative practice of, I know there's this energy and I know that I can utilize this energy, but how can I use this energy in playing with that, right? And so one example was, this is before, when I tell you, this is before I even, you know, came into the African, I am part of the African goddess movement, right? My way, because there's plenty of ways, you know, we bless all the mothers before me, but there's this particular wave of us in the African goddess conscious movement around, like, you know, the early maybe 2010, 20 to 2015 type of class, whatever. And so I began to just come into this this frequency in this field. But for me, it was always about my own system. I'm always big on my own system. And so I knew that there was pain. I didn't know where this was at. And I knew I had some kind of energy to go into that. So what I started doing was whenever I would have orgasmic energy, I started playing around with my ovary energy, my ovulation energy. And I said, I wonder what would happen? Because I felt that fire. And I said, I wonder what would happen if I went inside this fire. What if I took this fire energy? This is before like all books. This is just me, right? And the wisdom that I didn't know that I had that I was uncovering, because there's nothing new under the sun, right? And I was just like, I wonder what would happen if I take this energy that I feel, all this arousal, and take it inside and see what I can burn up. I'm like super, young baby, wet behind the ears. I was just like, I'm going to do that. And so I just began that ritual of just going inside, taking that fire, going inside of myself. Where is the pain at? And it was based off my desire. So the desire was, I want to be open with my husband. I want to have my waters flow. Like now I'm just drip, drip everywhere, but I was so dry and frigid. And so that was what I was working on. That was the problem, right? So you have a problem and you figure out how you're going to get in there. Mm-hmm. And so that was it. So I was just like, I was dealing with at the time. So we bless everyone. And I know sometimes this may be a trigger. So I just want to soften this up and bless you in advance before you hear this. And so I was dealing with incest, because that's related to ancestral stuff. I was dealing with rape, date rape, mm-hmm. that was related. So what I did was I took that energy and I went back into the memories that was inside of my body, in my womb, in my pussy. I say pussy. I don't say yoni. So just like if pussy. Okay. So I say pussy. So sometimes I might say yoni because I say pussy. Mm-hmm. There's power in that. And so in my pussy and all this stuff. And I took that energy and I went into the memories and I journeyed into the memories of the experience. So one, I would not recommend that for anyone else. Because it can re-traumatize you because mm-hmm. you're just reliving it, but I needed to live it so I can own it and see where did I choose this. This fundamental practice is what's been building over all this time to where I am today. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, it's where do I go in? What energy can I use to go into the experience that I know that I'm holding inside of my body, inside of my womb, wherever it is, because I see the manifestation of whatever that doesn't looks like blocks, looks like this, looks like all of this stuff. I see the manifestation of the mess, let's just say what it is. And there's a reason for it. I want to get to the source of it. How do I get to the root of it? How do I use the energies that's inside of myself to get to it? Mm-hmm. And so I began journeying and going into that rape experience and realizing the very moment when I said yes and I wanted it. I looked him dead in his eyes and his eyes was dark and I wanted his darkness. I wanted it. Why? Well, I kind of have an existential kink. I kind of like darkness, right? And so I had to take, and that stripped that victimization from me. And it took me down into that place of that shadow Scorpio Venus energy that I carry. That's part of my makeup. And it took me into that truth of, to this day, right now, I can say I will, I'm absolutely open to practicing kink, because I know I have that aspect of myself and in that kink is sacred and holy for me. Like, so that's how it relates to now as where I am today. Mm-hmm. Or I understand existential kink, meaning that I know that there are things that I call into my experience to suffer and I like it. Oh, internet, you're choosing suffering because it feels good here. Yeah, I forgot. Like, I really like that suffering. It feels kind of good. So at one point, there's going to be a point where I don't like that suffering and I'm going to choose not to have that suffering because I'm sovereign either which way it goes. And it's just part of my human. And I accept that part of my human that allows for me to suffer because I want to, because I mean, I want to be my own hero in my story or whatever reason. And so that's part of it. And that is where I'm at today, to be able to ground into that aspect of my human, because I was able to, it just started with my orgasmic arousal energy with my ovaries. So I took that and then it just evolved. If I had to go back and say how it started, it started with exploration and wonder and having a deep, deep desire to be the sex goddess that people see on the internet now to with my husband. Okay. I just want to let my water flow and feel good and not be like, can't breathe when he touched me. And like, literally just be a open wife, right? That's the desire for that. And now to this day, it's so, I am always unraveling. I don't even know, like I live in the frequency of the down. Because something come up, whew, what is that? Okay, that felt uncomfortable with that engagement or interaction or whatever. There's a mirror or there's something that I don't feel like I'm in my highest space. I stepped out of love. Why? I don't just like, oh yeah, I stepped out of love. No, I'm not. No, I need to know what's the source of this. Is it me? Is it my ancestral pattern? Is it the feminine collective? Is it a desire? I felt like, ooh, I hate her. Why did you say that, internet? Why are you scrolling on the internet? Oh, okay, stop. Unravel it. Oh yeah, there's a desire. What's the desire? Desire is, you know what? She's more open. She's like, I don't know. She looks like she's in her power. Oh, I want that. Okay, boom. Forgive myself, grace. Jealousy is just is misplaced desire. Boom. Mm-hmm. And I just go through it so fast, but it's a devotion. I promise you to just, you question every single thing and you unravel it and you unravel. And sometimes it takes days for me to go under and I'm calling on the energy of that particular womb phase. And I'm calling on the divine mother grace. And I go under and I go under and I go under and I unravel and I write and I unravel till I get to it. And I finally get to the truth. So truth is the truth is the actual truest frequency. And sometimes when I get to that truth, it goes back to my mom. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get to that truth, it goes back to my dad. Sometimes I get to that truth and it goes back to a past life. Sometimes I get to that truth, it goes back to a desire that's not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to my inner child. There it is. Sometimes the alchemy is fast, sometimes it's slow, the unravel. And so I live that devotion. I live under that and under and under and under. I hope that answered your question. I don't.
Absolutely.
If you have any more questions, help me to like get to it.
Yeah. yeah, you got to it. And I just love hearing your journey to and through and around and all the different things that you share about it. That answers the questions in more ways than I can imagine that it's going to be answered. So I really appreciate that, all the different stories. And so nowadays when you, like I heard that at the beginning when you were first starting this practice, it was a very clear sensation of that sexual frigidity that you talked about and wanting to unravel that because you had a very specific desire. And I hear that nowadays it might not be something as all-encompassing or big, but maybe sometimes it is something that's big, but that you might feel the effects in an emotional reaction that you might have something, an emotional reaction to something, or perhaps you have a physical something, a pain in the body.
Yeah, so that's what I want to speak to, because I spoke to like engagements, conversation with interactions, human interactions. Your my spouse is like, he's my learning ground, right? Like we have a very conscious relationship, and I'll talk about that and how my union in I hope all unions it's a space, it's a sacred container for ancestral healing. I'll talk about that. Remind me, please, because you know the phase of my cycle. I'm like,
yeah,
got that break. But so the body, so that I didn't really get to that portion of how that relates in the body. For me in the body, it's where is the disease? Where's the wound condition? Mm-hmm. Or where is the, my nervous system is not settled. Mm-hmm. And if I go into a place wherever my nervous system, where am I holding that tension and stuff? And then I can go in, you know, you just put your hand there and that's generally what I do. I literally just touch and I channel myself. I'm a channeler. I'm a medium. So for me, this is easy for me to do. If you're not like, if you don't have this particular spiritual ability, you could still go in there and you could listen spiritually and ask for however your psychic abilities allow for you to channel up and get the messaging from those spaces in your body. Mm. But disease, that's the opening. However, the opening, because what we're talking about, how does the opening look? Mm-hmm. The opening can look in any of our bodies. It looks like in our finances, it looks in our health, it looks in our relationships, all aspects of life. Oh, that's the opening. Why is that an opening? It's an opening because I don't like the way that looks and feels. It does not feel like abundance and love to me. So if that don't feel like abundance and love for you, there's an opening for you to go ahead and go inside of that, clean that out, bless it and fill it up with love, and go head on with your business. So it's always, for me, this is just how I live now. Mm. It's just how I live. Mm. Every single day I'm looking for that open. I don't really have to look, but I'm open to the opening and saying, oh, okay, there it is. Mm-hmm. There it is. And there it is. And I just keep on that thread and keep on that thread. But with the body, because I was diagnosed with endometriosis when I was 15 years old, I would just pass out in school and I had so much pelvic pain. I went through laparoscopic surgery. And then I had, like, this doctor told me I couldn't bear children. So my children are, all of my children, I saw them, but they're all, every single one of them is a sacred fertility story in a different way of how I brought them here. One is like a Jesus baby, a Christian baby. One is purely like spiritual law manifestation babies. One is a Ushun baby. So that was also part of my journey, was sacred fertility and the fear of not being able to have children. And then the other one was like post-secondary fear. I was afraid I had one, but I was afraid I couldn't have another. It was all of the things with all that, but it was connected also to my cervix. What's happening? Why is my cervix inferior? First of all, that's a terrible diagnosis.
Oh my goodness.
Why is my cervix inferior? Why can I hold my babies? Why did every single, my first baby was premature, and then I had to get stitched up with the other one. And so my womb journey has been around fertility. My goddess is a fertility goddess. So I lived the experience of dealing with fertility. Mm-hmm. It's funny, but you know, that's how it is when you have your goddess, you actually live her medicine for yourself.
Right.
Okay, you gotta live it. And so I deal with the fertility stuff, I dealt with the cervix stuff, all of these things in my life has always brought me back to the womb. And why? I had a period where I was just in my cervix, journey with my cervix, healing my cervix, connecting to the energy of my cervix. And so I go there, wherever it is, I'm inside of it. I go inside of it, and that's the sacred responsibility.
Mm.
That is the sacred responsibility. That is what consciousness is. That's how we live. And we continue to offer up and offer up and continue to hallow this human experience. And we're not victimized by the energies that we hold within ourselves. That's not our own. And that is our own.
Mm.
So in doing so, we allow for our human to have that grace. When I say I like kinky shit and I say, oh, you know what? It took me about a month to go to the chiropractor, but I finally went to the chiropractor today. And I had to say to myself, it felt good to have that pain. That pain reminded me that I was alive. Well, sometimes it felt good for me to have that pain versus feeling good to remind myself that I'm alive. And that's something I play with in my human. And mm-hmm. it's all right. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's just accept that. That's something that you play with and you're human and be okay with it until you don't want it no more. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. You know, you're really speaking to my scorpionic Venus. Did you say Venus in Scorpio?
Mine is in Scorpio.
Mine is in Scorpio too.
And so is my husband.
House. Okay. So that's like the last house. So it's like the most mature, blossomed aspect of Venus in Scorpio. And I'm really hearing what you're saying about the suffering, almost having there's an enjoyment or a desire.
Oh, it's such a fucking turn on. You're like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, give it to me. I want to suffer. Oh boy, suffering.
And especially for my poet's heart, right? That wants to. That,
oh my God, the writing that comes from suffering.
Oh yeah, and the artistry, the art that
so
comes.
So much art, suffering. so much beauty.
Yeah, right. So, and there's also this reclamation that you know, and this desire to learn how to make beautiful art out of pleasure and feeling good. But that gets tricky, because if the suffering and the pain also feels good, then it's like, what? Yeah. So
I'm telling, I know, sister.
So we're speaking the same language. Now, I know you also wanted to say a few words about your, the whole relationship with your husband as this additional ancestral healing playground, if you will. Maybe that's a word I'm putting onto it, but that's kind of what I was hearing, and how I, what I feel is that there, you know, when we come together in sacred union with a partner, in what I hear you describing, and in my experience, the womb portal, when we're connecting sexually and when we come into that kind of committed relationship, or even if we're not in a committed relationship, that womb portal, when we are sexually intimate with someone, connects us with their ancestral lineage as well. And whether we have children with them or not, whether we're married to them or not. And that's, you know, that's one of the things to consider when we are having multiple sexual partners, is that, you know, how do we manage the connection with everybody's with everybody's ancestral heritage, right? And that's one of the, yeah, that's a whole nother topic we could spend an entire podcast on.
Because it's myth, and then there's like truth. There's myth and there's truth. I'm gonna touch on that too. There's a couple of different things. So I want to touch on that because you brought that up. And so the truth is, you know how the pussy eats the dick. So if you understand this concept that you can open up in such a way that you devour, because it's true, you devour his dick and his semen, you cannot fall victim to this man's egoic patterns, energies, and his ancestral stuff. Cannot. Your womb is supernatural source. Potent. You can alchemize and dissolve that shit so quick. So I like to just be like, if you understand the consciousness of and the power of your womb, which is a continual devotion, you will not have this victimization of, oh my goodness, I can't experience this man because he has so much and he has this and he has that and he, I'm going to, his, all his stuff is going to be deposited in my womb and then the spirit, and it's going to transfer. And it's like, yeah, but you have a built-in system that allows you to release every single month. So how about you just get fucked, enjoy it, and let it go?
Okay.
And if it holds in your system, it's because you want it. All right. If it gets attached, you are so sovereign that you can choose to have that attachment, or you can choose to not. So I just wanted to speak to that, because so many women get so victimized with this idea that all this stuff is getting deposited. Now, yes, you are sacred, you are holy, you are pure, and so is your sexual activity. If you say and you proclaim and you hallow and you bless that, I want to have several partners, this is how I want to live, and that's sacred to me, then baby, that's sacred to you, and it's okay, because you're sovereign. But this idea that, you know, all of this transfer energy and all this stuff is, your womb is so infinite. It's the universe, it's portal upon portal upon portal. Like if you go into one ovary, it's a whole universe. If you go into one egg inside of that ovary, it's a whole universe. You go into this tube, this back quarter of your, it's a whole world. Why? I know this to truth, because I journey inside all of it at so many times throughout almost this decade. And I cannot even fathom the idea that having sex with whomever is going to like do something to my womb. We just like the pussy self clean, like it's just, think about what your body actually do and what it can do in the natural and in the realms. It's like, it don't make sense to me. That's me, right? So that's one part. The part of this, I'm sorry, did you want to speak to that?
No, I'm just celebrating this wisdom coming through you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just like, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And so like the other part is, I discovered connecting with my husband's lineage, like so long ago, it terrified me almost at the beginning of my journey. And I was just like, I was having sex with my husband, and he was like, woo, woo, woo. And I looked up, and he turned into his dad. Mm. He was his father, and I was like freaking out for a minute, but it felt so good, so I just kept going. I was just like, holy shit, what is happening? I'm getting like, I'm getting his father's energy. That means I'm getting his whole, I was being fucked by his whole ancestral lineage. Like all his men was fucking me. Like all his daddies. I fucked all his daddies, right? So, and that changed my whole mind. And I was like, this is like, my journey has not, I'm not a one to like read books. Like I live my experience. Mm. And so what happens is I live the experience in myself and I process it. And, you know, and I don't know if other people are having these experiences, and I may write about it, and I may share it on a video or something like that. And then I may find a book and I'm like, oh shit, that's what that's called. You know, like I'm not really big on books. I'm a journeyer. I'm a Sagittarius sun sign. I'm a journey, right?
And me so too.
I'm a Gemini rising. So I'm all about like, let's pack it in and go, right?
Yep.
So I don't really, you know, reading is fundamental. And so when I have these experiences and it's like, holy cow. And so that was like my first like introduction to having sex and having that physical and then and having that, that sacred union with the lineage. And I was just like, holy cow. And it was so potent. It was so powerful. And so what come and just journeying over our union and all that stuff. I always felt like, okay, I knew or like how holy our love was, but I didn't really like the thing about the story about me and my husband is that I was in an abusive relationship and stuff in high school that I chose to experience. And my mom had prayed for my husband. When my mom passed away, I had found her one of her Bibles, and it literally had the prayer in there for my husband.
Mm.
And yes, it's yes, like my mother. And so I've always held this like, this is like divine and holy because he is the gift to me from my mom's prayers, her magic, right? Even in her Christian witching, she held that, put it in her scriptures. And so I knew it was just like something there. I never conceived with my high school sweetheart, like no other man. I got pregnant with my son in like, we was together for like a summer, 2 months. I got pregnant, and then like we've been together ever since, right? And so I knew it was just like this was like a holy, you know, connection, but I didn't really like know the level of with the ancestors until we ended up getting divination. And when we got the divination, it came out that our family, our lineages, our past lineages had intermarried. So it wasn't just like one, you know, got married, like our tribes, like, and we intermarried over lives and like, and so we were just like, it just was such a, well, the night that we met at a club too. The night that we met, all of my sisters were there and we were dancing and stuff like that. And first he saved my life. I almost felt, okay, walking in high heels, you know, this is me at like 24 years old, walking in high heels, almost fell down the stairs and he caught me. From falling, oh, I would have been dead. I don't even know how many flights of stairs and some high heels. Man, I was real cute though. I was real cute. But he caught me and I looked up at him and I was just like, ah. It was like, we've been inseparable ever since, right? He was, what, I think 22 and I was like 23 or 24, something like that. And so when we were dancing, my sister was like, I'm telling you my love story now.
I love it.
When we were dancing, one of my sisters was like, do you know him? And I was just like, no, I don't know. She was like, this is weird. And I will never forget that. She was just like, it feels like y'all know each other.
Mm.
And I was just like, dude, it's really weird. But we were just so comfortable with each other, like from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like this innocence that we have in just this pure innocence. And I've never experienced that with anybody in my life. You could just be yourself. Like he is my best friend and just the innocence. And then there's this aspect that I know is true for my own soul, but then there's this fear of him because he's a man. Mm-hmm. That's not mine.
Right.
That like that just like this generalized kind of like my nervous system is not settled because he's a man,
mm-hmm.
because he represents the patriarchy. Because so I hold a non-feminist ideology and I unravel that. I know feminism has its place. I respect it. For me, it does not work in my system because it literally separates me from love. Mm-hmm. It literally takes me out of a power that is mine, mm-hmm. right? In love that I just can't do it. It's just not for me. And so I forgot what I was going to say. Oh yeah. And so I had to like come into like, what is that? That's not true. This is not this. I'm holding something that don't belong to me. So in my unravel, I began to discover, okay, that's mine. That's not mine. That's not true. That's, I don't know where to, that's not me. Oh, that's the collective. Oh, that came from my mom. Oh, okay. That came from this. Okay. That came from that. And so all of that has been like this molding of how do I unravel for love? That if I had to like, just say like the frequency, how do I unravel for love? Love looked like all the abundance in my birthright blessings, particularly with, because my Venus is in Scorpio, so is his. So we want all the love. We want that deep, deep love. And so it's always unpacking for more love and for more love. And so that's what it's been for us. And so we discovered through that couple's reading, through us elder, I want to say she's not really elder, but to me her wisdom is elder. So I call her elder, but a sacred sex goddess. Who's like whole mother, maternal energy, big sister energy, all at the same time, auntie energy. She gave us that divination. And she said, listen, your union, just you being together, heals your ancestors. Mm. Just us being together. So it's not even necessarily like we got to do all these ancestral rituals and no, like our love, being together heals our ancestors. Why? Because it's just the frequency of love itself. And so with him, he comes from a lineage of very powerful men, right? And so who he is and how he has deep reverence for the feminine and the love for the feminine and how he supports through me and just women in general, he would be considered a man who's not alpha or whatever. Not to say that his he's not masculine, he's fucking super strong and masculine, like, you know, he has that energy. It's just the way that he honors the feminine. Mm-hmm. So literally how he came into this world, his consciousness, to have reverence for goddess and reverence for the feminine, that alone, mm-hmm. his support for what I do in the world, I'm home, I don't have to go out in the world, that alone heals his ancestral lineage for his father's name. And I'm talking about his own father. I ain't talking about far back. I'm talking about like, you know, that patriarchal energy that everyone's like, oh, the patriarchy, tear it down. That energy. Okay. So that's what it is. And and for me, I had those ancestral mother patterns of deep, deep distrust for men. Mm-hmm. Ooh. The level, and also my maternal mothers are all head of household. So we know the African-American story. We know all of that, you know, the whole history and why the mothers are the head of household, but also that being head of household as a matriarch means you are all powerful. And it also means you don't have respect for men. Mm. It's all men are children sitting in your fucking place, right? So like just that deep needing to open up to having trust of him being the patriarch of this house. And I can surrender, unravel. It's for him, it's nourishing the reverence of the feminine while also not compromising his own respect and integrity as a man. So we just keep on. And that alone is how we do our ancestral healing. It's by consciousness, living, loving, and intending. Wow. And being being mindful of, this is not mine. You know, this is not mine. And so that's how the union, a sacred union, can be a container for ancestral healing. I live it. Mm. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, listen, I could listen to your stories all evening, but I want, thank you.
Not just my own, but
right. I thank you for sharing so much wisdom and such powerful energies and stories. I'm sure listeners will feel it too. The transformative power in what you're sharing and the healing power. And mm-hmm. I know that you're offering a healing offering coming up here, and focused on ancestral healing. Can you share a little bit about that and how folks can learn more about it?
Yeah. Okay. So I literally have to pull this up because I got the brain fog of my cycle right now. So I'm going to pull it up. Okay. So the from the frequency of my temple, womb goddess temple. So I have two womb altar, the mother's ancestral portals that's together. So the first one, which will be on October 17th, that Sunday, this portal is all about the unravel. Mm-hmm. So we go in, we are going to do the lineage pelvic rituals and ceremonies to unravel, to see what's there, to just share it out. We're going to do all the things. We're going to journey through that and then do the unravel. And then every woman, all that we were talking about, the feminine wounding, what pattern was there, what's coming up, you know, all the things, we're going to go and unravel and unpack that, right? And so the other part of that container, as a moon mother, I will be offering the womb cauldron energizer. It's just a form of womb healing for every single woman, because after you go under and all of that, you're going to need some nourishment. Mm. And so I'll be doing one-on-one. Each woman is going to get, so let's just call it womb Reiki for lack of better words right now, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to get your womb healing, and then I will go in and I will tap into your field. So I'm going to go in, tap into your field, but we're going to have that conversation, transmit everything specifically for every single woman to help and to support her. And if her ancestors come up, well, we're going to give them messages. Whatever comes up while I'm in her field, we're going to do that. And then she'll get her own healing. And I'll do that for every single woman. So I set the time for 4 hours. It depends on how many women show up and how long each woman, how much she needs for her womb healing, how much she needs for processing. We just be deeply generous with our time there. So that's what we're going to do. In that mother portal, we will unravel and you will get the womb healing and all of that. And we'll go into sister sharing and all the things, right? And then I'm going to hold space on the full moon. Usually every month I offer like the free Womb Goddess Temple community connection service, right? Through my being a certified moon mother. Mm-hmm. And also just in general, just in my temple as well. But so what I'm going to be doing here is coming into the worldwide womb blessing on the full moon. The worldwide womb blessing through Miranda Gray lineage from the red moon. Me, I'm a certified moon mother in that, right? So I'll be able to hold the space as a moon mother. I will do the womb blessing, attunement, guiding in that meditation journey. But there's also another sharing journey, which is healing the ancestral mothers. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do both. We'll do the womb blessing, but we'll do the wombing and healing the ancestral mothers. And all of the women who sign up for that will also be part of the big blessing with all the international ancestral mothers. Mm-hmm. So I combine those together. So one is on Sunday and then a full moon. The full one is on Sunday, and then Wednesday, the full moon. Both of those portals go together for me. Mm-hmm. And then that's what we do. So that is the womb altar portal, the mothers, that's happening in October and then November, because like I said, it's so important that we hold space for the ancestral fathers. Mm-hmm. I have a deep relationship with one of my ancestral fathers, my maternal ancestral father, whom I never met, but he anchors me. So if you are a woman who feel like you need that holding, that anchoring of that ancestral father, clean patriarchal energy, mm-hmm. connecting to that in all the ways that you need to unravel, where you have this stuff in you that separates you from father love and father energy and your ancestral fathers, because your relationship with your dad and your husband, the man, then that's for you, because there's so much ancestral father. It makes me weep. Mm-hmm. There's so much ancestral father love that I have seen in all of my ancestral divinations, in my own relationship with my ancestral father, despite my own connection to my real father, whom is an ongoing healing. The ancestral fathers love us, and this energy of this patriarchy and this ideal of this wounding and stuff that's ours, it keeps us from having this power and this holding of that ancestral father power and love and that anchoring that they can give you, because you're turned off from your ancestral fathers. And so that means so much to me. And so in November, I'll be holding another portal, just going on that that paternal side of the line, right? And getting in there and calling forth the ancestral fathers and blessing the ancestral fathers. And then I'll have a couple community libation services. And so if you want to be part of the Connecting with Womb Goddess Temple, doing the womb ancestral healing with some of the moon mother devotion as well, I have a whole schedule. We'll be pouring libations, we'll be doing all the stuff, but my enchantress has called me to step into this. So this is what I'm doing. And and it's time to share it out because I live it and it's time to share it out. So you can follow me. You can reach me anytime on Facebook. You can inbox me anytime. I live on Facebook and my regular government name is Antoinette Doe. Or you can reach me on Instagram at goddess_Antoinette. And also I will like leave all the links and all that stuff and email me, right? So I generally just message me and I send out the invite and we do it that way. Mm. Sometimes I put up links, sometimes I don't, because for me, if you have the desire to come, you're going to come. Mm-hmm. You hear it, you're going to come. You're going to inquire. So if the desire is there, desire is there. I'm not, you know, I don't do all the things. I share out, you want it, inbox me, let's go, right?
All so, right.
That's what it is.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Antoinette. I'm glowing over here receiving your beauty and your wisdom. And I'm so grateful to be able to transmit this, what you have to share, and share it with the folks who are listening to this series, this podcast series. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And I also want to mention, for listeners that might be interested in learning more about what's happening at the Womb Centered Healing Temple and the upcoming Ancestral Healing month-long program that's happening there, you know, you can go to wombcenteredhealing.com and look for the Ancestral Healing under the online courses tab. Also, we'll see about putting links there. You can also reach out to me. We have very similar approaches, Antoinette. I know that if folks are really interested in what's happening, they'll know inside themselves and they'll reach out and they'll make it happen for themselves. So we're here to support you. Thank you so much for listening. And that's all for now. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time.
Blessings.